You're listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Hey everyone, I'm super excited because I've been on the road the last couple weeks, and when I was up in Fresno with my dear friend John Girardi, who's the director of Right to Life of Central California, we decided we wanted to record talking about some of the key legal issues in the battle for life right now. So this is some of that recording. It's not as strong because I'm on the road, so if it sounds a little different than our usual audio, that's why. Enjoy! So great to be in studio with all of you again. I have a special guest this week joining me, my dear friend, John Girardi. I am up with him in Fresno for a conference for the Right to Life League. He is the director of the Right to Life League of Central California.
Just Right to Life, no league. Just Right to Life of Central California.
There we go. Testing it out. And he also has his own radio show on iHeartRadio.
Yes. So we have here in Fresno, we have Right to Life Radio, which is on Power Talk 96.7 and the AM 1400. Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. But it's also available for those of you not in Fresno. You can just search for Right to Life Radio on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and it's one show a week, and it's a pretty great show, I think. So there you go.
So John is also a lawyer. You have practiced law in other states, not here in California, and now you're heading up a pro-life organization, and you are the go-to for anything pro-life or even religious liberty and issues of homosexuality.
Keep going.
But really, because we don't have a lot of resources saying like, hey, this is happening in our state here in California, and we can speak up against it.
Right. There's a lot more bad stuff that happens in life-related legislation in Sacramento than I think a lot of people realize, because so many people are tuned into Fox News or CNN or national news outlets that, and they don't cover what happens in Sacramento. Obviously, the nature of a national news outlet is they're not going to cover what happens in Sacramento. And even in local newspapers, the coverage you get for legislation in Sacramento is usually like, oh, this horrible thing that you would really care about has just passed this committee. So we let you know after the fact, not beforehand, when you could have actually done something to stop
it. Please, Governor, do not sign this into law, and it's often too late. So Right to Life of Central California, you guys are often helping to inform people and activate them to speak out on some of the upcoming bills. So later on in the show, we're going to be talking about telemedicine and the future of medicine and where we see the abortion movement going. We'll also be talking a little bit about Opria, which is a clinic for women's health funded
a
at
chain,
times.
A national chain of pro-life women's health clinics, prenatal health care and reproductive health care clinics that was started in Orange County and is now gaining affiliates all throughout the country with the mission of having a single, enormous, unified brand to present a genuine alternative to Planned Parenthood.
So
that's
John,
sort of the mission of it.
You never knew you would be in women's health, but you're in the process of opening up clinics.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that. I mentioned for anyone who's joining us live on Facebook Live, we're going to also be talking about erectile dysfunction and what's happening for men right now. And John can't say this without giggling every time.
Yes, exactly.
We'll count to see if he starts giggling next time we bring
see,
it up.
See, you lured me in by it's related to the abortion debate. It'll get there. This is not purely about erectile dysfunction. And let me just state, I have no personal experience with this question, but we will get there. It'll hook into a discussion of abortion. So
but
don't worry.
Some 20-something year olds are having this difficulty very often.
That is true.
Which is why we'll be talking about it. So I want to start today. You at the conference we're speaking at this weekend mentioned how one person's vote today, if you are politically tuned in and active, can account for much more than that.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the bills we're facing here in the state of California. And you have to remember, you may not be in California, but what happens in California ends up sweeping the nation if we're not careful.
Right. So the main piece of legislation that we at Right to Life of Central California and other pro-lifers throughout the state are really concerned about is SB 24. I'm sure Timmery talked about SB 24 ad nauseum last year when it was called SB 320. So SB 320 last year, it was vetoed by Jerry Brown. It came back this year, and it came back this year for one reason, because Gavin Newsom said he would have signed it into law. So
here's our
new governor of California. So what is it? Okay. SB 24 is the bill that would require the student health centers at every CSU and UC to provide chemical abortion to students, to have at the student health center on campus at UCLA, at UC Berkeley, at Cal State Fullerton, at Cal,
is this for
Fresno
free
State,
too?
As part of the student health insurance plan. Mm-hmm. Okay. So to have it right there on campus. And if a student is on Medi-Cal, this is something that Medi-Cal will pay for. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So basically for free for any college student to get a chemical abortion, two sets of pills, RU486. And these women are being sent home for the abortion process to happen at home. First pill kills
the
baby.
Well, worse than at home, yeah. In their disgusting college dorm room after a Friday night and Saturday night. I remember how disgusting my college dorm room was.
I take it you weren't very sanitary.
Well, in fairness, it was an all-men's dorm at Notre Dame, so it was probably a little grosser. But still, these girls are being asked to basically to artificially induce a miscarriage. I mean, that's more or less, that's what the chemical abortion process is. You take one medication, RU486, that prevents the baby from adhering to the uterine wall, thereby killing the baby, cutting off its food supply, and then a second medication, misoprostol, which induces an artificial miscarriage. That's why it's so deceptive of the pro-choice side. So many of them are like, oh, there's so little rate of problems with chemical abortions. There's so few complications. So few. You're inducing an artificial miscarriage. And all of the problems potentially associated with miscarriage are there associated with RU486. So the risk of major blood clots, of infections. There have been 14 women who have died from chemical abortions as of a certain recent date. 14 women who've died from chemical abortions. You're susceptible to heavy bleeding, to infection.
I mean, women experience blood clotting, blood clots the size of baseballs. I talk to these women who have experienced this on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, it's a very serious medical interaction. And that's actually what the interesting thing about this bill is, that administration of California State University and the University of California systems has not been supportive of this legislation. Like, you'd think that, oh, public universities, like, yeah, they must be a bunch of crazy pro-choice left-wingers. Like, of course they support this. No. The CSUs and UCs don't want the liability that this will put on them. They just, like, our student health centers shouldn't be in the business of doing abortion. Like, that's not what a student health center is for.
Because
a student,
it's not basic health care,
right,
that students need.
Yeah, I mean, a student health center, frankly, the point of a student health center is to give you Tylenol, Advil, diagnose if you have mono, and get you to a hospital if you have something actually serious. Like, that's the point of a student health center. It's a conduit to get you to actual basic, to more advanced health care. Here's what they're going to have to do, Timmy, to make SB 24 effective. They're going to have to put ultrasound machines into the student health centers of every CSU and UC, not to help with prenatal health care, not to help women make the choice to save lives. They're going to put ultrasound machines into all the CSU and UC student health centers purely so they can do abortions. Okay, because in order to have to do a chemical abortion, the baby has to be 10 weeks post-conception or younger, because if you have it later than that, then the health risks go up. So you need to have an ultrasound to make sure the baby's at that, you know, age threshold. So they're going to put all of this apparatus, all of this investment into all the student health centers, which could potentially cost our taxpayer money, which could potentially siphon off funds from student tuition fees. All of this just to do abortions on campus, when on average, most CSUs and UC, on average, the average CSU and UC is like 5 miles away from an abortion clinic.
And that's why Jerry Brown vetoed the bill. He said, we already have major access to abortion here in the state of California. And
right,
most schools have an abortion clinic, like you said, within a few miles. So
yeah,
why do we need this?
So Fresno State, was Cal State CSU Fresno, is literally like, I think, a half mile away from a Planned Parenthood affiliate that has chemical abortion right there. There's no need to have this on campus.
Well, and this is what confuses me, John, when we were talking about this bill, is that we have such a crisis on the college university level of mental health issues. Yet here we are saying, okay, ladies, let's go ahead and open the door for sexual promiscuity, which we know contributes to female mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And then let's go ahead and give you abortions, and therefore further contribute to increased risk of anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and
along with other reproductive health issues, exactly. Infertility issues and things like that potentially down the road.
So they're making the college campus system a less, not only like sanitary environment, but also a health mentally. Like, we're supposed to be in academia for the development of the human person, yet we've turned it into a playground for sexual exploitation of the person.
Yeah, and with this bill specifically, a playground for left-wing pro-abortion activists to just sort of enact their dream policies. Right. You know, it's a canvas for them to paint on.
So what can people do? I think that's the thing where I love how you break it down. It's so simple, and we need to do more.
Right. So we have about a minute and a half here, but I'll see what I can get squeezed in. Okay. So one of the things I talked about today at the conference that Timmery spoke at was how you can amplify your voice. And you can amplify your voice by talking to your members of the state legislature. So let's do some basic California version of Schoolhouse Rock. I'm a bill sitting on Capitol Hill. For a bill to become a law in California, basically what has to happen is it has to pass through a majority of the state assembly, which is our lower house that has 80 members. And every one of you listening to this in California has an assembly member who represents you, whom you elect. It passes the state assembly. It passes the state senate, which has half as many members, 40. Everyone in California listening has a state senator. You help elect him or oppose him or her. So it passes the state assembly. It passes the state senate, and it has to get signed into law by the governor. At every step of that process, you can make an impact. At every step of the process, you can take your one vote in California, and through very simple stuff, you can force multiply your one voice, your one vote, and make it worth 100 votes.
By holding your elected representatives accountable. We're going to come back and talk about this, where you can speak out, emails, phone calls, and why it is so effective. As you say, you turn your one vote into a powerhouse of like 100 votes because not a lot of people are contacting their legislator. I'm here with John Girardi. We'll be right back on Trending. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm still on the road. If you're in the area, I will be speaking in the Knott's Berry Farm area. I'll be also giving a talk about abortion apologetics. Let's defend that pro-life position, especially so many people are talking about abortion. So I'll be giving a talk at a Theology on Tap in Temecula, that's Southern California. Also, if you're making plans this summer, two things, Vox Vitae, a four-day conference for adults and a week-long conference for young teens. We'll be talking about pro-life apologetics. We'll be talking about chastity and so many other of the important Catholic issues that we need to be formed on.
Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I have with me in studio today, actually I'm in his radio studio up in Fresno, John Girardi.
Thank you all for having me.
So for those who are just joining us, John Girardi is the director of Right to Life here in Central California. Mm-hmm. And you have a background in law as well, which...
I am an actual lawyer, so there you go. Yes.
Now, your background has really made you a powerhouse in helping to respond and understand the behind the scenes of what's taking place in trying to enforce new laws, whether pro-life or pro-abortion. We're talking about SB 24, which is bringing RU486 on campus for free to college students. How can people, we were talking before the break about how people can actually speak up and make their one vote count as more than 100 votes and contacting their legislator.
Right. So for any piece of legislation, I mean, so let's look at the California legislature. You have the California legislature makes our laws. They write our laws. Every single citizen in California votes for their state assembly member, which is our lower house that has 80 members, 80 members representing 40 million people. Okay. So each one represents about 500,000 people. And you have your state senator. There are 40 members of the state senate, 40 members representing 40 million people. Okay, so each one is representing almost a million people. So you can feel pretty lost in the shuffle. But there's a way that you can take your one little vote and force multiply it by 100, by 1,000. And that's by actually getting off your rear end and writing or calling your state assemblyman or state senator. It's very easy to do. Okay, so let me give you a few thoughts about this. Okay. If a state assembly member or a state senator gets a ton of letters into their office telling them, hey, we want you to oppose SB whatever, let's say SB 24, the bill for chemical abortion. If they get 100 letters come in that say, we want you to oppose SB 24. What they're thinking is that, you know, 99% of the electorate does not ever write their state assemblyman or their state senator. So what they think when they see your letter come in is that this must represent the sentiment of at least 100 voters.
And these are
1,000 voters,
and
potentially.
And you know how they're thinking, hey, you guys voted me in. I need to kind of cater to where you guys are at
exactly.
in order to get reelected.
Exactly. And we've changed, especially in districts that are a bit more swing districts, like I'm thinking right now of a member of the assembly from Bakersfield, who's a Democrat, but Bakersfield has a pretty conservative pro-life. Even Democrats in Bakersfield are pretty conservative. He voted the right way on SB 24 last time. It was SB 320 back in 2018. It was called SB 320. He voted the right way on it because Kern County Right to Life was telling him, hey, this is going to be a big deal at election time if you don't vote the right way. So by writing in to your state assembly member, to your state senator, they think this letter probably reflects the sentiment of like 100 people. And you can take your one vote out of 500,000 in the state assembly, which is just sounds so like demeaning and intimidating. Like, what voice could I have among, you know, 500,000 residents of this
but
man's district?
It's an email. It's a phone call.
It's a phone call.
It's a
an
letter.
Email. So what I did, and maybe we can add these links into the description after this is posted, I'll give Timmery the links. We can add it in.
So
if you just simply do a Google search, find your state representative, California. One of the first things that pops up is this very simple website produced by the state of California where you enter in your address and it immediately spits out for you who your state assembly member is, who your state senator is, and links to their official website. And on their official website, you can find their mailing address, their phone number. So here's what you do. Here's what I'm asking all of you to do. This bill, SB 24, it's really bad. It's requiring the CSU and UCs, all of their student health centers, to provide chemical abortion. Here's what I want you to do. Go to that website, plug in your address, see who your state senator is, who your state assembly member is. Click on their websites. At the bottom, or in the contact section of their website, they have their Sacramento office. It has a 916 area code. Call them. Call them on Monday and say, hey, I'm a constituent in your district. I'm a voter in your district. There's this bill that's been introduced called SB 24, and I want you to vote no. That's all you got to do. And by doing just that, it's a 5-minute phone call. It's not even a 5-minute phone call. It's like a 2-nanosecond phone call.
Maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're listening. They're there to just pick up the phone, take down your notes. If you want to say more, great. Sometimes if I have enough time, I'll sit here, you know, we do
yeah,
know where your my senator stands on this. You know, what do you think about it? Because here's the other thing. That senator, assemblyman, whoever it is surrounded by staff who's commonly telling them how to vote on each of the different bills.
Oh yeah, it's staff, and they get policy papers from their party,
right?
Telling them, here's a breakdown, here's what we think about the bill.
They don't have time to read everything.
No, and their staff doesn't have time to read. I mean, they have staff members who tackle, okay, you tackle all my healthcare legislation, you
right.
tackle all my this, you tackle all my that. But they get, you know, notes from their committees, they get notes from their party caucus. But if the main most important person they have to hear from is you. The most important person they have to hear from is their boss, the people who put them in power. And especially with assembly and state senate elections, like the turnout in such elections is usually pretty low. I mean, even though they represent like 500,000 residents apiece on average, state assembly races could be won by a mere, you know, 1,000 votes, 2,000 votes. You might have a grand total of like 80,000 people voting in a seat with 500,000 residents and, you know, maybe 250 eligible voters. So if you're sending in letters, if you're calling, you are making your one voice have such an outsized impact. And, you know, you don't have to be crazy. I would actually prefer you not be crazy. Don't be rude. Don't be crazy. If you write a letter, don't have a long letter. Two paragraphs. Just say, my name is so-and-so. I'm a resident. I'm a voter in your district. I would urge you to oppose this for this reason. Thank you. Boom.
Done.
You're done. if you write a big long diatribe saying the dignity and sanctity of every human life and you are a baby killer and blah blah blah, then he's gonna say, okay, this is a wing nut, I don't have to listen to it.
But and not that those words are not true, but we need to be diplomatic in how we interact with people.
Less is more. Less is more in this case, and the staffer looking at your letter will thank you for getting to the point.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
And just an example, because you're saying, okay, you're asking me to do this. Honestly, it takes a couple of minutes. The phone call takes maybe 2 minutes. And it's funny, I say this because last year we had a lot to call on here in the state of California, and I kept kind of making excuses.
Every year we kind of do.
Every year. And I remember one day I'm like, okay, I'm going to take 45 minutes. I'm going to get these two phone calls done. It's going to take forever. I was done in 8 minutes with both the phone calls.
It does not take long. No.
Well, and we saw a major success last year, and it's something we talked about on Trending throughout the year. And by the way, that's John Girardi in studio with me. You're listening to Trending. I am Tim Ray. We're talking about how basically what happened last year is we had a bill that was coming through that was trying to make it so that basically all psychologists could no longer counsel on the issue of transgenderism and homosexuality. That they could only affirm a person as transgender or experiencing same-sex attraction. And so it was a real crisis because we were seeing that even literature or possibly even conferences that would take place.
Books potentially.
Such as the Bible could be banned if they disagreed with this pro-LGBTQ agenda, essentially. Well, what happened is the author of the bill ended up pulling the bill at the end of the year. And why? Because people spoke to him, made phone calls, wrote letters, and we didn't see this radically anti-human law, a law that really helps us understand who we are as people, come into effect here.
Well, and even, I mean, how did SB 320, the bill that last year would have legalized chemical abortion on college campuses, this year it's reintroduced as SB 24. How did that get stopped last year? It was very simple. Jerry Brown vetoed it. And Jerry Brown vetoed it because he heard from college administrators, he heard from students, he heard from general voters that, you know, hey, this could potentially... You know, this and for a lot of his statement of why he was vetoing the bill, he cited a lot of the points. Now, I'm not giving myself credit for the victory. I'm just noting the coincidence of a lot of the same points we at Right to Life of Central California made in our opposition letter were the same points that Jerry Brown cited in his veto statement. Student access is already being met to get abortion, et cetera. Now, I wasn't making unique arguments.
Name all of those arguments, though, because people need to hear the diplomacy behind helping to see who you're speaking to be convinced to not vote for this.
If you want to oppose a piece of pro-choice legislation in California, the last thing you should do is use the word baby killer. The last thing you should do is talk about the dignity and sanctity of human life. I believe in the dignity and sanctity of human life. I'm not sure I believe in calling abortionists or people who support abortion baby killers, but I do acknowledge a baby is being killed. We need to find common ground with these people and argue for these things intelligently, because otherwise what are we doing? We're just making ourselves feel better.
So what were your talking points?
So the talking points we talked about with SB 24, which is the current version of this bill to require chemical abortions at all the CSUs and UCs. One, it's going eventually to require taxpayer dollars and student tuition fees to pay for it. There are no protections in the bill to keep that from happening. And most people don't want to fund abortion with their student tuition fees or their taxpayer dollars. Two, it's trying to achieve access to abortion for students. Students already have access to abortion. It's not that hard. On average, students in California have to drive like 5 miles and they can get an abortion. It is not that hard. We're talking about adults going through normal healthcare problems that all of us go through. Those were two of the main points. In addition to that, we talked about how universities would be taking on all this liability, and that ultimately would impact the taxpayer who would have to pay for that, because the universities don't want to be doing abortions now and taking on the liability that comes if someone has, you know, health problems as a result of that abortion. So those were the main points we hit, and those were the things Jerry Brown cited in his veto of the bill. So I feel like our advocacy and the advocacy of other organizations that oppose SB 320 made a big difference. And your letters, for those of you who did write about it, made a difference.
If you want to put your hand on the pulse of not only the pro-life movement, but also law, especially in the state of California, where can people find your radio show where you're talking about these legal issues?
Yeah, so check out Right to Life Radio. Just go on Apple Podcasts and search for Right to Life Radio, and You'll find me right there. I'm the first thing that pops up.
And we'll have a link in the show notes as well.
Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
So we just saw a policy change here across the country, really, over Title X funding.
Yes.
Essentially, that any type of clinic that is already receiving Title X funding or is trying to qualify for it will not qualify if it is either A, performing abortions or referring for them. This is great news for women's health care and for the pro-life movement. But what's happening is we're actually seeing some of the crisis pregnancy centers that are medical, or even further, new chains of pro-life gynecologists, OBGYNs, and you actually, I'm in studio with John Girardi of Right to Life of Central California, who's in the process of opening up an Obria medical clinic.
Yes. So we in Fresno, we have one pro-life clinic that does ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. It's a CareNet clinic. It's called Pregnancy Care Center in Fresno. And they do really wonderful work. We really appreciate what they do. They've been the only such clinic in Fresno, though, for 30 years, and our population has doubled. And our thought was, well, maybe we need something more. So we at Right to Life of Central California are starting an Obria affiliate clinic here in the city of Fresno to do not only ultrasounds and pregnancy tests, but the full range of prenatal women's health care. Well woman exams, prenatal exams, STD, STI testing, hormonal health treatment, the works. And we're so excited to be doing it with Obria, in part because Obria has, I think, such an exciting national model that's different from the traditional crisis pregnancy center. It's really, I think, something that could be the future of pro-life clinics and pro-life advocacy to women facing difficult pregnancies.
Well, and this is what's so great, is it? Although there are many people of great faith behind it, it's moving forward into the culture, looking at where are people health-wise, what crises are they facing, but also socially. And so you're bringing STD testing that really opens the door for so many people. I mean, I was just talking to a doctor earlier today who's a pediatrician, talking about the syphilis outbreak and the epidemic really taking place in certain areas. And this is a major concern for women, but it's silent because women don't want to talk about it, women and men.
Well, and it's more than, so here in Fresno County, 46% of everyone in Fresno County is on some form of public health insurance. And if you look at Fresno and divide it up geographically, so North Fresno is kind of a more affluent area. South Fresno is a very poor area. We have a lot of migrant farm workers. We have a lot of poverty. Our poverty rate in Fresno County is like double the national average. And what we're seeing is that prenatal health care, the needs of women are not being met, that there are 10% fewer women will get any form of prenatal health care if they live in South Fresno versus North. So that's a huge percentage of women. Infant mortality rates in South Fresno are enormously higher than in North Fresno. And it's because, and that's usually an indicator that women are not receiving prenatal health care. So the awesome thing about Obria...
Can I just push back for a second here? Because, and part of this is really frustrating because the funding is there through Title X, but the problem is that all the Title X funding is going to Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood is not providing any prenatal care. What they're offering is abortion and contraception. I mean, you can hardly ever find a Planned Parenthood clinic that actually has some little amount of prenatal care.
Right. And you know why? Because, and I know this because I'm starting, so our clinic, our Obria clinic that we're starting, the traditional crisis pregnancy clinic, is they don't take insurance. Everything's 100% paid for by donors. Women don't pay a dime. The reality in California, though, is that such a huge percentage of women are on Medi-Cal, including abortion-vulnerable women. They're either on Medi-Cal or qualify for at least emergency Medi-Cal. So it's actually not a huge imposition, usually, and you can waive this if it is, to ask for a $10 copay for an ultrasound. You, as a clinic, can bill to insurance, recoup a bunch of that cost. The woman has a little bit of skin in the game because she put down a $10 copay. And these women who have Medi-Cal, they want to use it. They don't want to feel like they're going to the poorhouse to get their health care. They want to, they're more able to find you if you take Medi-Cal. So it's a different kind of, Obria has this different model. But what I'm seeing is that, so the model Obria uses is very similar to the model Planned Parenthood uses. Planned Parenthood accepts Medi-Cal, it accepts covered California plans, it accepts most forms of insurance. The reason why Planned Parenthood clinics are profitable and why my clinic won't be, now, we'll be fine. We have donors who are going to support us, and we'll make up the gap. It's okay. But the reason why Planned Parenthood's profitable and I'm not is because there's one service. There's one service that Planned Parenthood does that I will never do.
It is very
And you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's abortion. Every abortion, Medi-Cal pays for abortions. Your state taxpayer dollars, your California taxpayer dollars, not your federal dollars, but your state of California dollars pay for abortions for women who are on Medi-Cal. And it's actually this devious thing to me. So like at the national level, federal taxpayer dollars don't pay directly for abortion.
But they do
through federal,
indirectly.
Well, they do indirectly, but through what's called the Hyde Amendment. Yeah. So through the Hyde Amendment, your taxpayer dollars don't directly pay for abortion. And as a so including for people who are on their state version of Medicaid. So,
and so for those who don't know, the Hyde Amendment, basically it flips back and forth whether or not we have a Democrat or Republican president implementing the Hyde Amendment where funds will not go to pay for any abortion services.
Right. So if you're, for anyone who's on their state's version of Medicaid, basically because the Hyde Amendment has gotten attached to the federal budget every year for like 40 plus years, no federal dollars directly pay for abortion. So what California did to get around this is they set up a stream of purely California taxpayer dollars. So your California state income taxes.
Go to Medi-Cal.
And that goes to Medi-Cal to pay for abortions.
That's so, John Girardi. Yeah. I'm Timory Millington. You're listening to Trending. We're talking about Title X and some of the funding throughout the state. So continue to tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So what we're really hopeful for. So with the changes in Title X, prenatal healthcare clinics that don't cover prenatal healthcare clinics that don't do abortions will now be eligible for Title X.
Fantastic.
And abortion clinics will not be eligible for Title X.
Planned Parenthood is so upset.
So mad. So it's partially defunding Planned Parenthood. It's not all the way defunding them, but it's partially cutting off one of their streams of funding, which is great.
Let's talk about the future of abortion. I know you and I, so many people today, there's such comfort now when it comes to medicine that we can do a short video conference call, even some text messaging now, given our symptoms, or maybe you pop over to the 10-minute clinic at Rite Aid and other CVS spaces, and you can get what you need for your cold or whatever it might be that you're experiencing. Well, Planned Parenthood has really taken this model, and they are not only providing hormonal contraceptives for free, right, through the HHS mandate, but also they are now providing abortions via telemedicine with no doctor supervision.
Right. So people need to understand what is meant by telemedicine. Okay. Telemedicine is basically the process by which over your phone, you can securely over a HIPAA secured server, exchange healthcare information with a medical professional. And a lot of different healthcare providers will do this through either an in-website sort of app. So you go to their website and you can do it through a portal on their website or through a smartphone app. Okay. I've seen something like this for erectile dysfunction. Okay. There's this company called Roman and they have an app and it's basically this thing where it's a telemedicine service for guys who don't want to maybe go into the office for erectile dysfunction. They download the app and they can chat online through the app with a doctor or a nurse and get a prescription for erectile dysfunction medication and have it mailed to their door. They never have to step out of their house. Planned Parenthood has started to do this for chemical abortion. So rather than having to walk into a clinic, having to call someone, having to make an appointment, girls will be in their home or in their dorm room on a Sunday night, take the pregnancy test, find out they're pregnant, whip out their phone, download Planned Parenthood's app, and start within seconds. They're chatting with a nurse practitioner from Planned Parenthood, and they're getting a prescription from chemical abortion, which in some states can be mailed right to their house. Mm-hmm. So the whole abortion process, they never have to leave their home. They never have to make a phone call. They never have to schedule an appointment. All done right here. This is the new abortion clinic. People need to realize this right here is the new abortion clinic. So that's why we in Fresno, Right to Life of Central California, we're so excited to be working with Obria. Obria is the only chain of pro-life pregnancy resource clinics, pro-life medical clinics providing prenatal women's health care from a pro-life perspective, the only chain like this to have their own telemedicine services. And it's so critical that they're doing this because let me tell you something, and this is just my prediction, and I don't want to like be demeaning to people who don't do this, but my fear is that 10 years from now, this is how Europe is already there, by the way. The vast majority of abortions in Europe are chemical abortions, and they're going to be done via telemedicine. I'm afraid 10 years from now, if you're a crisis pregnancy center that just has a phone number and you're waiting for people to call you to book an appointment instead of calling the abortion, guess what? You're out of the game. because millennials are not making phone calls to do their healthcare. More and more, they're turning to apps and they're turning to telemedicine. And if we as a pro-life movement, if our clinics don't have telemedicine services, we might as well shut down. Like, we're out of the game. Like, putting a, you know, putting a listing in the phone book and a billboard and a phone number, like, that's not going to cut it.
Well, and already having worked in the crisis pregnancy center system as well, I've seen that really the number of women in crisis pregnancy has really declined. And the reason for that is for a very long time now, and I'm talking probably a good 15, 20 years, what's happened is women are now taking Plan B every time after they have sex.
Right.
Because they're using it as an abortifacient.
As birth control,
but they're killing the baby after the baby's conceived. And so what's happening is these girls have such a high spike of hormones that are all over the place. This is part of the reason why Obria is also appealing to hormonal health care.
Right. So one of the big things Planned Parenthood does to hook people in is whatever hormonal health thing you do, we put you on a low dosage of contraception, brute force your cycle.
Oh, acne, boom. There you
go. Acne, boom. So, and then that has the unintended, well, the side effect of, oh, now I can have sex with no consequences. Well, it's a low dosage of birth control, so you do get pregnant, and then you know where to go for your abortion. Obria is actually going to be offering hormonal healthcare services so that women can actually fix things that are wrong with their cycle through hormonal health treatment rather than brute forcing it with contraception, which just gets them into the cycle of abortion all over again. So there are so many cool things that Obria is doing and that we hope to do with them in Fresno.
I'm so excited, John, for all of these Obria clinics that aren't just here in California, but they're actually beginning to open up across the country. Many crisis pregnancy centers and even pro-life medical clinics are converting over to Obria. They have a secular approach that is drawing people in to really understand authentic sexual health, sexual freedom, and true love in relationships, ultimately.
Yeah, it's really amazing what they're doing. They've got clinics in Oregon, Washington, Georgia, like all over the country. So it's a really great thing. We're so happy to be working with them here in Fresno.
Awesome.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
John Girardi of Right to Life of Central California is in studio with me. I always love getting together because we usually end up like hardcore geeking out on pro-life law. He's now, I'm saying, you know, in the business of women's healthcare.
You're
opening up a women's healthcare program. You also have a law. You're a lawyer as well.
I keep wanting to
say law degree. I'm like, no, you're a lawyer.
I have a law degree.
You have a law degree. Boom. But you mentioned earlier that many men are experiencing erectile dysfunction.
Yes, I am.
You heard this because, and it's something I hear actually more and more just on basic radio. You hear all of these ads. You hear it in the sports arena as well.
Well, sure. I mean, like, no, we've been seeing ads like discuss, like just eye roll, like cringe inducing ads for
Viagra. But that's for older dudes. Yeah. Come on.
Well, yeah. And so there's more and more of an incidence of erectile dysfunction. But we were talking in the context of healthcare. There's so many more of these telemedicine apps that allow you to exchange and receive healthcare information and services without actually having to go call someone on a phone or walk into an office. So over a HIPAA secured server, you can exchange healthcare information and get erectile dysfunction medication mailed to you or this or that.
But I want to talk about it from the perspective that we've been talking about abortion during the show today. And here's what happens when we took babies outside of sex and then took sex outside of marriage, and we created no legal protection or even right to live for the unborn by doing so, we also led men and women's bodies basically into the physical degeneration that we're seeing today, where 20-year-old men, we are experiencing erectile dysfunction because they're looking for love, they're looking for sexual intimacy, but they're finding it in sexual gratification through over-masturbating, indulging in pornography, and that's why we're seeing all these ads today.
Right, yeah, well, 100%.
It's tied back to abortion.
These are businesses trying to meet demand. When you think about the destruction that the sexual revolution brought about, the destruction in terms of women's bodies, so one of my board members at Right to Life is a NAPRO surgeon. So she does awesome infertility. And so she's an OBGYN and an infertility specialist. So she does all of these amazing surgical techniques to help address issues related to infertility. And the NAPRO system was developed at a Creighton University Medical School, which is a Catholic medical school, because most of the infertility medical world had just completely abandoned older techniques in favor of in vitro. In vitro was where the money was. In vitro is still where the money is. And it, rather than actually addressing women's reproductive health problems, rather than actually addressing their infertility problems, they're saying, well, all right, let's go to just go to in vitro. The NAPRO community, which is sort of centered around Creighton Medical School, which is where my board member, Dr. Amy Holmes, went, basically said, no, we need, that is not really an answer because you're not actually addressing women's hormonal health problems.
It's a Band-Aid that's making it a bigger problem, essentially.
Yeah. And so Dr. Holmes has done these amazing things. I mean, one of my very dearest friends, Jonathan Keller, who's the CEO of California Family Council, and Jonathan's been public about this, so I'm not out of school talking about this. He and his wife experienced infertility in their marriage for 10 years.
Wow.
10 years of marriage, or it might have actually been 11 years, I think. They had two miscarriages and had had such heartache and, I mean, at various times just giving up on the idea that they would ever have children. I actually told Jonathan about Amy Holmes and the sort of stuff she does. Dr. Holmes, over the course of a year, did two surgeries on Jonathan's wife, Julia, one exploratory surgery and one to correct certain health problems that Julia was experiencing. 6 months after that second surgery, they conceived. And they have a baby boy, Hudson, who's a year old now. And he's the absolute joy of their life. And I just feel so bad because, so when my wife and I were engaged, my wife began fertility tracking through the sort of the NAPRO method, the sort of the NFP kind of thing.
Fertility care awareness program.
And she did this before we actually were married, before we were actually sexually active. And she started tracking these things and she identified all these problems with her own cycle. And so we went to some NAPRO specialists. We went to a NAPRO surgeon in Indiana. So we were living at Notre Dame where I was going to school. We went to another NAPRO surgeon, Dr. I think Christopher Stroud, who's in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he was saying, okay, you have polycystic ovarian syndrome and you have it so severely, you're not actually releasing your eggs. So if we don't do anything, you're never going to have a baby.
Wow.
So Dr. Stroud, about 6 months into our marriage, did a procedure on, performed a surgical procedure on my wife to correct it. 6 months later, we had a baby. And it's the same procedure that Jonathan, my friend Jonathan's wife, Julia, had. 6 months later, we were pregnant with our first child, Maddie. And so, you know, people look at my family and they're like, and I have like, we've been, my wife and I have been married for almost 6 years now. We have three kids. And people think, oh, well, you know, normal, very fertile couple who had a very, very normal, you know, tracking of things. But no, actually, like we had to take a major, there was a major intervention that had to take place there. And what I realized, I look at my friend Jonathan and Julia, and I'm so happy for them that after 10 years of infertility, they now have a baby. But I just think, gosh, like if only I had known about their struggles and about NAPRO sooner for them. Like I could have been, Holly and I could have been them and suffer through miscarriages and all these years of infertility. But what we're seeing is, what I'm seeing, and this is anecdotally, but my NAPRO surgeon friend, Dr. Amy Holmes, who's here in Fresno.
And by the way, that's John Girardi of Right to Life of Central California. You're listening to Trending.
Yes. So one of my board members at Right to Life, Dr. Amy Holmes, who's a NAPRO surgeon and infertility specialist, one of the things she's seeing is just enormous numbers of women who have huge infertility problems, whether it be PCOS, endometriosis, all these infertility problems. Her business, fortunately, I guess for her, because she's helping so many people, but unfortunately, because so many people need her business is booming. Her practice is exploding. And it's because I think so many women have, you know, fallen for what society sold them with artificial contraception, with abortion, and it's ravaged so many women's reproductive health. And so many men, bringing us back to erectile dysfunction, so many men have fallen for the lies of the sexual revolution about pornography, about masturbation. Oh, it's harmless. Oh, it's just, you know, whatever. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Even though, I mean, we could talk in much more detail about the problems of pornography from the perspective of how the women in that industry are treated and the sexual exploitation and, I mean, why prostitution is illegal in most states, but pornography isn't, makes no sense, frankly. Men have just bought this lie that pornography is this harmless whatever thing. You know, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, who cares what I do? It's hurting a lot of men. And there are so many men now who are experiencing erectile dysfunction and infertility problems. And it has a lot to do because we've misused this tremendous gift of sexuality that we have.
Well,
and it's been misused by both sexes in both ways, both because of the lies that the sexual revolution and the dominant culture have been thrown out to us.
But we're talking about the silver lining. You're talking about stories of people who have experienced infertility. I mean, you yourselves, essentially, who experienced infertility for 6 months until you had the surgery. Yeah. And I actually just was reading the other day that, and I mentioned it on the show, that by 2015, we're reading that most Americans will actually have to turn to some sort of assistance in order to conceive children, both men and women.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and it's not just hormonal contraception, and I bring this up, but also the way we're eating now is not contributing to good health. I mean, for women in particular, the dairy, the hormones that are put into dairy and meat is further jacking up our hormonal system.
You know, and that's the thing, like, part of me feels like like I'm turning into a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, like I'm Art Bell or, you know, or George Norrie or someone. But like, honestly, like I, so many of my wife's girlfriends from Notre Dame, so we went to the University of Notre Dame, my wife and I, that's where we met. So many of our friends from Notre Dame have had multiple miscarriages, have had years of infertility problems. So many, I just was talking with a law school friend of mine. He and his wife were both Notre Dame law school grads. And she said 2 miscarriages. So many people we know from Notre Dame, almost to the point that it genuinely makes me wonder, like, are so many girls in Notre Dame on the pill that this is affecting, like, oh, the water supply? I don't want to get to the point of, like, they're putting... like, I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, oh, crud, what's his name?
But University of Denver, I believe it was. I mean, Boulder, Colorado, all over the country, not only here in the United States, because so many women are on the pill. We've gotten to the point where it's in our sewer system and it's in our basic water supply. So they've done tests and they're seeing that actually, because it's in the sewer system, the fish are now actually getting the hormonal contraception, the water, because ladies are peeing it out, right?
Yeah.
And what's happening is we're finding that there are a hermaphrodite fish and also multi-generational of fish that are infertile or having fertility issues.
Yeah, it's a bizarre wild world, and so much of this are the lies of the sexual revolution has, you know, this is the fruit that 50 years of sexual revolution has borne for this country and for countries throughout the West. So.
But you know what, pastorally for you and I, for all of us, it shows the testament then we're when we're open to talking about our own sexuality, and I know that's kind of awkward for some people, maybe our own difficulties in conceiving children or whatever it might be, it actually opens up the door for other people to feel comfortable and share. And then because we're the ones who have the gem of the resource of NAPRO technology, and I'll tweet some links out on social media so you guys can get them, but there are answers for people to help achieve pregnancy, not just pause and wait and abstain to have children.
Every couple I've known who has fertility problems, I always feel weird sharing our infertility story, and every couple I shared it with is like, thank you for sharing that with me, because I would possibly like to learn more about this. So
that's John Girardi of Right to Life of Central California. I'll be sharing the links and you can learn more about him at radiotrending.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can head over there and go to the contact page, just send me a message and let us know what you want to hear discussed next.
This has been Trending with Timmery. To book her to speak or learn more about her guest, visit radiotrending.com. That's radiotrending.com. You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes.